I have worked every job. I have done everything I could so that I could make money for my family, for my sons, my daughters, my grandsons, my granddaughters. I've done everything that I know how to do. But then there is the problem. You see, you're going home. God's calling you home, and you've got to face the problem. What keeps so many people from God is the inability to face the problem. I don't care what it is. Everybody's got a problem. Attitude. Sin in your life. Habits. Things. You've got to face them. So they come to this river called Jabbok. Everything that Jacob owns is on the other side, and now he's by himself on this side. There's an interesting little verse that comes right in the beginning of this that really got me. In the very first verse of chapter 32, it says that Jacob went on his way and angels met him. But you see, I don't need any angels. I don't need no divine guidance. I've been doing this all my life. I know how things need to be done. I know how to do this job. The biggest mistake I ever make, ever in my life is, oh yeah, I know how to do that. I can do that. I watched the guy on YouTube. I watched just how he did it. Now I can do this. Then I have to call up Bob and say, Bob, can you come get my car and take it over to the garage so the wheel mechanics can fix it? I know how to do this. I don't need no stinking angels. When you make the decision to start your journey back to God, I believe with all of my heart, the angels watch your footsteps all the way to the cross. All the way to the place where you are willing to kneel before Him. Call Him Lord and Master. Repent of your sins. Ask Him to forgive your sins. I believe angels watch you the entire way. But He didn't need them. So now everything He values is on the other side of the river. And everything He fears is on the other side of the river. So I'm here now, all by myself. It's interesting to note that one of the meanings of the river Jabbok, the meaning of the word Jabbok, is emptying. Moses stood in front of the Red Sea, telling God, what do I do now? The sea's in front of us. The Egyptians are behind us. What do I do now? You forget about yourself, Moses. What do you have in your hand? Use that staff. He raised that staff. Your Bible says that God caused an east wind to come and blew all night long. And in the morning when it got time to wake up, they looked, and where the Red Sea was, or the Reed Sea, or whatever sea it was, there was an open path for people to walk across on dry ground. But you're told today that no, they didn't cross the Red Sea. They crossed a very shallow reed sea. It's just a little shallow thing, and they just walked across that. Amen. Well, tell Pharaoh and all his chariots and horses and soldiers that are laying dead in that little puddle of water. It's just a puddle. Joshua stands at the River Jordan. Yes, sir. On the other side is the promise that God has made since Abraham. He looks at this river, and Bubba, there is no telling anybody. Walk up down here, see if we can see some rocks, a shallow place we can walk across on. It ain't that way. It's flood time. And the Jordan is overflowing its banks. Look at the places where God gets you. You want to go over to the promise? What's God going to put in front of you? God had to tell Joshua, you're not going to do it yourself. You get the priest with the ark to come down, and they've put their feet in the water, and when it happened, the water all ran out. Right down the river it went, and it began stacking up on this side. You see, Joshua, you can't do it yourself. It doesn't matter how smart you are. I'll bet you Joshua has walked across hundreds of wet places, but he's in a place now he cannot do it on his own. So Jacob is at this place called the emptying. All that Jacob owns is on the other side. Everything Jacob loves is on the other side. God's not interested in that. God's interested in Jacob. What God wants is Jacob to be emptied out. Listen to me, dads, and moms if you want. To be the kind of person that God wants in our families, in this life that we live, it's going to take an emptying out. Can you say amen? Amen. If we look at the Bible as being a pattern of what God does, we need to have an emptying out of everything that we hold dear. Put it on the other side, and now it's just you and a man. And a man. This man grabs hold of Jacob and they go to wrestling. Remember the cartoons? Remember the cartoons when they get to fighting? Like the cats on Tom and Jerry or Heckle and Jekyll or something like that? Well, all you see is that cloud of dust and the little hashtags flying out of there. You see an arm come out and go flying back in. And some guy come out and he's all, they reach out, grab him, drag him back in. This is going on for some period of time. If it's all night or not, I don't know. But he's wrestling this guy. If you're reading the King James, it says a man, your version may say an angel. I believe it is a theophany. I believe that it is a Christophany. It is Christ appearing in the Old Testament. And he's wrestling with Jacob. Jacob won't give up. Try telling an alcoholic, you got to quit drinking. Stop. Just go pour it down the sink. Works every time. All it is now you got a hungover drunk. Don't shoot it no more. Don't stuff it up your nose anymore. Don't puff it up anymore. Yeah, it works. I was telling my wife the other day, the worst thing you can tell as a depressed individual is, you ought to snap out of it. Come on. We don't let go that easy. I've had people try to abduct Jim Beam. I've had them try to kidnap Jack Daniels when him and I was hanging out. It don't work. It's a wrestling match. It is a battle. It is a fight. You struggle. The problem, one of the problems that we have, and it's sorrowful, but it's the truth. In the church, in the Christian church today, we go to every congregation in this community, everyone in Colorado, everyone in the United States and the world, in every congregation, you're going to find men and women who are trying to serve God, but they are battling with something. They're wrestling. wrestling with God over something. God says, I don't care you gave me your wife and your kids. I don't care you gave me your cows and your car and your home and your CDs and your investments. I don't care. I want you. Emptied out you. I'm learning something in my old age. God can only fill to the extent that I'm empty. If I want all of God, I've got to be emptied all of me. When I begin to struggle with something, when I begin to wrestle and battle with something, it's time for me to stop and take a dive on the inside of me and say, God, show me what I've got down there. Sometimes He will show you things you don't even know about. I've told you before, I've probably told this story 100 times, but it as I look back, it means something to me now. We lived at 415 South Montana Street, Butte, Montana, on a hill like this. It was a hill in a long row house, and it was that's why my tooth is chipped. I tried to eat a sidewalk coming off of one of them little push scooters. But we lived there, and we had a big closet. We had a really big closet, my brother and I. And in the closet was our toy box. And we learned that one of the neatest things we could do, we would ask Mom, or ask Aunt Rita, can we turn over the toy box? Is it all right if we do that? And we would turn it over, and down on the bottom, or on the top of the pile suddenly, are things that we didn't even realize we owned. Man, there's stuff from 2 Christmases ago. Where's, yo, Little Horses, Lone Rangers, there's the gun, there's my holster. There, it was cool, we turned the toy box over. We need to let the Holy Spirit into our lives in such a way that we say, Lord, turn the toy box over. But all the stuff down on the bottom that we don't see, let it come to the top. You know it's there, God. You know, it's just I don't know it's there. In Jacob's life, in this wrestling match, things are coming out of him. This one that he wrestles, bringing things out of him, and he doesn't want to let go. In fact, the angel, it's getting close to the dawn, and the angel says, let me go. Jacob says, not on your life. Not on your life. And the angel, the man, the Christophany, Jesus in the Old Testament, touches him, and his hip goes out of joint. I'm so afraid that in this wrestling match that I'm having with God and the things that perhaps I don't want to give up, that God has got to hurt me in such a way. And now he can't stand on his own. Now that he's got him right where he wants him, instead of that fling and throwing around, when your hip is dislocated, all you can do is hang on. That's all. And he gets to that point that all he can do is hang on to this person that he's wrestling. Now, God has him just where he wants him. I can't stand on my own. I got to hang on to you. I'm totally empty. There's nothing more within me. So now, Lord, I need you. Now God can do all that He wants to do. And I look around this congregation, and I see people who God has done that exact thing to. You may not even have known it. All you knew was, I have got to get in front of Jesus. For me, I was so angry, I was so frustrated that this stupid preacher up on that stage would talk to me just because I had a red shirt on. I had a shirt just about the color of my sister's blouse there, sitting in the back of the Palmer High School auditorium. Mad. Vic Colburn talked to me like that. I know he was talking about me. Jerk. I'm not going. You can talk all you want to. As soon as I can get out of here, I'm leaving. I'm leaving, Vic. As I walked down the aisle holding my old Bible, crying my eyes out, bawling my head off. Because God had me so under conviction of what I had done. Buddy, I'll tell you, I was hurt looking for somebody to lean on. And he introduced me to Jesus. And all Jesus asks, hang on to me. Let me do it. I believe God spoke to us this morning saying, don't carry burdens you were never built to carry.
Yes, sir. Amen.
And we carry them. We do our very best. We do a yeoman's job of carrying around stuff we should never ever have to carry.
That's right.
And that young man prayed for me. I came out of that auditorium. I knew something was different. At the time, I didn't know exactly what it was, good or bad. I knew something was different. And the first time I knew something was different is the Marlboro cigarettes. They could go and it didn't bother me at all. It absolutely did not bother me to put those cigarettes away. I knew something was different. I went to school, I was going to Pikes Peak Institute of Medical Technology, PPMT for short. But I went to school that following Monday, and when I went to the break room, I walked with a spiritual limp. And I remember Karen Ehlers, one of my classmates, she asked me, she told me, she says, something's different. Oh, I wasn't limping. I wore the same clothes. Same hairdo I had hair back then, Tiny. Lots of hair. I looked like Clint Eastwood. Don't ask me what happened. It's an ugly story. But what I didn't realize that I was walking with a limp. There was something different. There was an opportunity now for somebody to say, what happened to you? Well, I went to Palmer High Auditorium because a few weeks back I began to hear this voice speak to me to come home. Taking my father-in-law's study Bible off the top of the refrigerator as God is my witness as I stand here, and I was lower than I had ever been in my life. I was so low. Missed Christmas. Decided being at the lamplighter was more important than Christmas Day. And I took that Bible and I opened up, and as God is my witness, it fell open. And down on the left-hand page in the right-hand column, down on the bottom, it says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And I'm telling you, God lit into me with both barrels. New Year's Eve came. We had a huge New Year's Eve party every year out at Bonnie Glovin's house. All the Oversouls and the Glovins, everybody got together. And we went out there. And everybody's waiting for me to be the life of the party. And we each had a soda. And we left. Because something was happening on the inside of me. Somebody's calling me. And then I ran into this guy called Jesus. And I've been limping ever since. Even when I didn't want to limp, I limped. Even when I didn't want to be, I limped. Dads, what we need in this world today are fathers that are walking with a limp. kids that are looking up at their dad and say, "Dad, why are you limping? Why are you like you are?" Dads who are willing to say, "Son, daughter, it's because I met Jesus. And Jesus is the Lord of my life. I'm no longer like I used to be. Oh, I used to be this and so. But now Jesus is the Lord of my life." Want to change the world? See, mom and dad start walking like that. We need to be emptied out. We've got to empty ourselves. An old wise old man told me one time, Jesus will be Lord of everything or he'll be Lord of nothing. We got to be empty so that he can be everything. John the Baptist hit it right on the head. I must decrease so that he can increase. I've got to be emptied so that he can be everything. Church, it's the same today as it is back then. God wants people who are empty of themselves, hanging on to God with everything that we are. This place called emptying out. I get a kick out of watching the birds around the house where I live. We've got all kinds. Yeah, you do too. I'm not telling you anything different. We got all kinds of birds. But the ones that get me are the mourning doves, who they fly up and they land on those wires that are carrying about 28 bazillion volts of electricity in them. And they just sit there. Without a care in this world. And I'm thinking, why is it not poof, feathers and that's it? But I know that if I could reach up there and touch that wire, it would be all over for me. It would be all over. Immediately. Fried. But for the birds, there's no problem. The reason for it is that they are not touching anything. They're just hanging onto the wire. That's all there is. There are no problems when I just sit in the presence of God. When I am holding onto Him with all that I am and touching nothing else. There was a scripture used last weekend. Therefore, having these precious promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and of the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord. When the world has no concern for me, when the world means nothing, only Him, I can be on that power all the time. But if I decide to hold on to Him with one foot in the world, all that's going to happen is the wreck. For he that loveth the world is an enemy of God. And when you're an enemy of God, you're like that bird touching the ground. It's just flowers or feathers and fried bird. That's all it is. God is not interested in anything over the creek. He wants you on this side, empty, holding on to Him, because He's all there is. Father, this morning, if there is anyone here in this house, I pray, Lord, that You'd begin to deal with them. If there's somebody here that's still holding on to the world and the things of the world, I want You right now to begin to deal with them. There is another way. Father, sometimes it takes a long time. It took a long time for me. And You were so patient. You just kept on wrestling. You just kept on wrestling. Sometimes it's so hard. We think we have it. We know what we need to do. We got it all figured out. and all we do is hurt on the inside. If there's someone here today, Lord, that's doing that, would you speak to them in words that only their heart will understand to give up? To give up. There is no need to keep wrestling. Just surrender. Let me touch you that the world may know that I touched you. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Let me ask you. Is it talking to you? Are you here today and you're trying to serve God and serve man at the same time? It doesn't work. Are you trying to serve God and keep your lifestyle the way that you want it? It doesn't work. Are you trying to serve God but have the little hidden things? It just doesn't work. God wants it all. If you're here and that's you, would you be honest enough to tell God, God, He's talking about me. He's talking about me. Jesus knows everything, single thing about you. He knows right where to fix you. You see, there's a place in every man's heart that God fixes that place and all the stuff begins to fall off. It's like turning the magnet off. And the things of the world begin to fall off of you. If that's you this morning, I want to open these altars. And if you are willing to say, God, I'm coming to you. I've heard you say come, and now I'm coming. And I need to have you remove from me the things that do so much harm. I'm going to ask Dave to come back to the keyboard, if you will. Pray, saints. I feel like there's eternal things that are in the balance right now. Eternal things. I promise you there will be ribs. I promise you nobody will take the chicken. Right now it's about eternal things. If you're here and you're away from God, you're running your own life and it's falling down around you, give it up. Give it up. Allow God to touch you. The altars are open. And I would ask you, if that's you, if that's how you feel right now, get out of your seat and come to these altars. Nobody's going to make fun of you. No one. It takes a real man, a real woman, to ignore the world and say to Jesus, I don't care what they think. I'm coming to you, Lord. I'm coming to you. Just a moment more. You're tired of your life the way you live it. You know what's hidden out in your life. You know what needs to be done. You know the things that have to take place. Just come. Holy Spirit, do what only you can do. Holy Spirit, do what only you can do. Make it right with God today. Don't walk out of this place carrying stuff that you're never supposed to carry in the first place. Give the angels in heaven something to think about. They're singing. They're singing. Lord, I thank you. I praise you. Father, I believe in my heart that there were decisions that were made